Matt Bubala here with you in for Dean Richards, 9:35 in the morning here on 720 WGN. Lashana Tova to all of our Jewish friends out there celebrating a new year. 5781, thank goodness 5780 is over. Let's hope 5781 is a little bit better than 5780. I know a lot of us are looking forward to 2021. Maybe 2021 will be better, as if magically things are just going to change and 2021 will be better. Something I don't think is going to expire at the end of the year. But so I'm glad that we have the Jewish New Year so we can test out the whole theory on a new year, a new day. Maybe things will get a little bit better. We'll figure it out. So happy New Year to everybody out there celebrating. And it's time right now to bring in our friend Dr. Kevin Most. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital and a frequent guest on WGN Radio. Good morning, Dr. Most. And now something's wrong with this, too. Dr. Most, are you there, sir? There you are. We had the wrong phone pot up. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Matt. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us on a Sunday morning. We really appreciate all the time that you spend here on WGN Radio trying to keep us informed and grounded and educated about what's going on, because there's just so much unknown all the time for going on, 8 months now? This is crazy, this unprecedented time in our lives. But thank you. So let me ask you right away first. I'm hearing a lot. We're hearing so much about possible vaccines and, you know, all these different dates about when they might be available. And once they're available, how long is it going to take to really produce it? When will people really get it? But what I'm hearing more and more from people is them saying, well, I'm not going to take that right away. And I know there's a lot of questions about vaccines and a lot of people who get bad information, get really worried about vaccines. But I think it's somewhat legitimate because there's a lot of concern that a vaccine will get rushed through. And I know a lot of companies have vowed together that we're not going to do that. We're going to go through the proper protocols and everything else. If a vaccine comes out in the next 2, 6, 8 months, how concerned would you be about whether or not you take that vaccine right away?
Yeah, Matt. And, you know, it's interesting. When we look at what is the general public feel right now, about 80% of Americans feel the vaccine approval process has been too hasty. Whether that's been warp speed or whether it's been, you know, some of the comments that have been made. As a physician, I am going to look at the data. I want to make sure two things. One, that it is safe, and two, that it is effective. We have one bite at the apple here. If we lose the confidence of our medical field, our medical staffs, and the public, this is just going to push this vaccine way down the road. So really, although we're all looking at this magic date here of a couple of weeks, forget that, guys. Let's make sure we have the right data that has been proven to be safe and effective before we start to push it. Let's go by science instead of a calendar.
All right, so let me ask you about that. Let's start with the effectiveness, because I've heard that normally there's a certain amount of effectiveness needed to keep moving through. And I believe that threshold has been lowered somewhat in this instance, because even if we had a lower effective rate, just getting people vaccinated at that amount would make such a difference. Where does that stand and your feelings on that?
Yeah, you know, the FDA has said they will be okay with a 50% effective rate. And to put that in perspective, if you look at influenza vaccines, our effective rate on influenza vaccines can go anywhere from 25% to 75%. So we know that from that portion of it, that kind of makes sense, that if it's effective at a 50% level, that at least will be helpful. What we're really trying to get to, Matt, is this thing called herd immunity, where we need to show about 60 to 70% of people have immunity towards COVID. So if we have a 5 to 10% immunity rate just from the illness itself, just from people getting ill in the general public, and then we have a 50% positivity rate for the effectiveness of this, we still need a vast proportion of the country to get the vaccine in order to get to this golden herd immunity, where potentially we can start to see this decrease dramatically and at some time get rid of masks.
Well, and the other question, I guess, with that is getting to that number is how long this could last, because there's a lot of question, I believe, about how long a vaccine will last. What if it's only effective for 2 months? Is there a minimum that we'll get of effectiveness out of it? Not just effectiveness that it's stopping it, but length of duration. And, you know, I think we can all understand if we're going to have to do this annually like a flu vaccine. But is there a possibility or a concern that they'll find something, but it's only fighting it off for 2 to 4 months and it's not effective for a whole year?
you know, that is one of the concerns. Our immune system is pretty amazing, that it has a pretty good memory. You know, if you look at vaccines like polio, like measles, even things like diphtheria or tetanus, where even tetanus, where we just get a 10-year kind of limit now, I think what we're really expecting and hoping is two things. One, that this virus doesn't mutate too much year to year. And two, that we're able to get a vaccine that we'll be able to do annually. This is not going to be a polio vaccine where you get it and you're done for your lifetime. This is going to be one, at least initially, where we're going to see some effectiveness, but not really long-term. It would be winning the lottery if we got this to a long-term vaccine fresh out of the box. That will not happen, and people have to understand that. Even the vaccine, when it comes out, Matt, we're going to have to get two shots somewhere between 21 and 28 days apart. So it's not just going to be one vaccine. You're going to get it, and then you're going to get a booster a month later.
And that's not uncommon. People should understand that there's many vaccines where you need a booster, correct?
Absolutely. Yep. There's many vaccines where you need a booster, and everybody knows, you know, when you get your tetanus shot, you know, the doctor's going to ask you, when was your last tetanus? You're essentially getting a booster at that time. Kids, when they first get their first flu shot, are going to get a booster. So everyone's heard of boosters, and this certainly has been shown, at least in the initial phase one and phase two studies, that the second vaccine is the one that actually gives you that additional coverage.
The concern I have with the idea that it's going to mutate and we're going to have to do this every year, because we have enough conspiracy theories going on now, it's going to turn to people thinking this is big pharma, they generated this, and now this is a big moneymaker. And I think there's going to be a lot of education that's going to be needed from the science side to get people to understand, you know, this is what we need to be safe.
100%. You know, coronavirus is the same virus that causes the common cold, and we've had the common cold forever. And we still haven't been able to get a vaccine for that because we know that it does mutate a little bit here and there. So the mutations in viruses happen all the time. And it's one where this is not the big pharma doing anything. This is science and nature happening. And we just hope that the mutations are good. Matter of fact, if you look at now, the first mutation we had is actually pretty good. The initial virus that came into our country where we had all those hospitalizations and all those problems had mutated by the time we got to June. And now we're seeing a virus that is not as virulent, but is much more infectious. In other words, it's spread quicker, but it's not causing a lot of the illnesses that we saw early on.
So that was a mutation. Is the original form still out there and spreading, or is just the mutation spreading now?
No, in the United States, it's pretty much just the mutation, although there are still some pockets with the original. Worldwide, you know, if you've seen just recently, we're seeing a big surge now in Europe again as they're getting their second wave.
Sure.
I haven't seen what the composition of that one is. That would be concerning if it's a new one, because then potentially that would be headed our way as well.
You mentioned the second wave. Early on, we talked a lot about flattening the curve, and then we're going to have to deal with the second wave. We had this huge upswing in numbers in the last month or two, but I've not heard that referred to as the second wave, more as we weren't as smart and as careful as we should be, so it came back strong. Are we still waiting for a second wave?
Yes. So we really never... I shouldn't say never. We got pretty close to kind of dampening down the curve. And remember, everyone has to understand that flattening the curve was made for one main reason. We could not stress the health system with ICU beds, ventilators. We had to slow this down, and this would have been much more devastating than it was. So we did at least dampen the curve. Now what we're seeing is two things. One, we're seeing some complacency. So we're seeing less people wearing masks in some environments. We're seeing more crowding around. So we do expect to see an increase. Plus, we knew coming into the fall, the chance of a second wave was very, very possible. And in Europe, it's certainly showing us this. So we're saying it may be an extension of the first wave versus the second wave actually being a true second wave.
We're going to take a quick break. Dr. Moss, are you okay with answering some listener questions?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good. 312-981-7200. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, answers yours next here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala in for Dean Richards this morning, 947. Happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. We're chatting with Dr. Kevin Most. He is the Chief Medical Officer, of course, at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. You hear him on, I believe, every show on the station at some point or another during the week when he's giving us the latest information. And we can give some to you as well. What are your specific specific questions for Dr. Most, 312-981-7200. We'll get to those questions in just a moment. Dr. Most, you mentioned safety as the other thing. Efficacy and safety are the two concerns. So when do we truly know that a vaccine is safe? These trials, I mean, it's less than a year since we first knew this was even going on. So what is the normal process and length of time before you determine a vaccine is safe? And how good do you feel about, you know, this process right now? Are they over rushing the process, or are they going through what is necessary to make sure that this vaccine is safe enough?
Matt, let's just put it in perspective. The fastest we've ever made a vaccine in the past has been 4 years, and that was the measles vaccine. So, all right, am I concerned? Yes. Actually, another reason is that once we give the vaccine, if I were to give the vaccine to you, it is now my duty for the next 2 years to monitor you for side effects. So, I understand the need to get it out there, but we need to show at least that the immediate short term is very safe, and then monitor as long as for any long term effects. So I'm really going to look for the data, the full data from the phase 3 studies, before I come out there and say, you guys, let's get this vaccine, let's get this moving. And I think that that's the opportunity that we have as physicians. And we took an oath to do no harm, is to make sure that we look at the science, look at the data behind this before we start promoting that. You know, if you have doctors that say, go get it, but I'm not going to get it personally, yeah. You know, there's that dichotomy of, wait a second, what are you trying to do to me? So we have one shot at the apple at this one, and I think it's really important that we get the data, make sure it's effective, make sure it's as safe as we possibly can right now, and then make a determination as to our recommendations.
I was saying earlier on the show, I was talking with a friend last night, and we said that, you know, if Dr. Fauci on national television said, okay, first dose, here we go, put it in my arm, I think that would help a lot of people say, okay, you know, somebody, for those of us that trust Dr. Fauci, I know we're very divided as a country right now, but having somebody in leadership who you trust say, yes, I'm going to do this, I feel it's safe, would go a long way. I don't know how things will work like that or not. But tell me, with the vaccine, whatever vaccine we come up with, I know I feel good because I'm guessing there has never been the brain power in our history dedicated to one thing as there is right now dedicated to this virus and trying to figure out a solution for it. So I feel good about the possibilities. When we talk about the safety, I would guess that whatever the vaccine is, it's sort of a derivative of some other vaccine. Is there a little bit of baked in, we know it's at least a level of safety because we've used this in some shape or form in other vaccines? Or is this something that's so brand new that there's going to be more concern of, we really don't know for a while what the safety is going to be?
No, Matt, you hit it spot on. If you thought about this, years ago, we used to have one or two companies making influenza vaccine. And when one company had a bad production year, boy, we were short of vaccine. Let's put this in perspective. We have 120 companies looking to make a vaccine. We have 50 right now in the United States that are in some form of either phase one, phase two, or phase three trials. This is unprecedented that we have this many companies focusing the brilliant minds that we have on this vaccine. So that is extremely reassuring. And now it's going to be, you know, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca appear to be the leaders. But I can tell you, we have 9 vaccines in phase 3 studies. We have 14 in phase 2. We have 27 in phase 1, all of them looking at safety and efficacy. So that's really reassuring. Science has really progressed quite a bit since the measles vaccine. So we really are in much better shape from a safety point as well as a technology.
Good. All right. Real quick, we only have a couple minutes left. Let's get in a call or two. Mary, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Matt. Hi, Dr. Most. I'm a senior, 73. I do have a part-time job, which I've been doing from home. I went into the office for the first time on Friday, but I've been isolating as much as possible. But I did start to see my two little grandsons, ages 7 and 9, back in early July, and now they've been doing remote learning, but they're going to back to the classroom in mid-October, and I'm wondering if it'll be dangerous for me to be around them once they're back in the classroom and being exposed to all the other children who've been exposed to everybody else.
Great question, Mary. Hold on and listen. Go ahead, Dr. Most.
Yeah, Mary, I would say, you know, let's make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. You know, it's terrible that we take grandparents away from their grandkids, but let's make sure that we physically distance. Let's make sure we're both wearing masks. Let's make sure we're not giving them big hugs and spending a lot of time with them. So you can still see them from a distance and still interact with them. But as kids go back to school, we know there are going to be outbreaks, and many kids are asymptomatic. So I just tell all seniors and all vulnerable populations, please be careful when you're around any school-age children as we go back into the school year.
Dr. Most, when we talk about the school and what's going on with the kids going back and forth, what is your thought on, you know, Chicago's doing all at home. My kids are in a Catholic school out in Woodstock. They started out in person. Then they had to have 2 weeks at home because of a breakout. Now they're on it every other day. What would your overall advice be for schools right now?
Matt, I have been pretty solid on my determination on this. I think kids need to be back in school. If it's a hybrid plan, that's great. It allows the physically distancing in the classroom because these rooms weren't built for the numbers that we're talking about. 25 to 50% of kids with child abuse are noted by the teacher. Over 75% of learning disabilities are identified by a teacher. Parents are not great teachers. They are great parents, but they're not going to be the one that's going to teach somebody who has ADD or dyslexia. We need to make sure that these kids get it. And the other thing that's really sad, Matt, is if you look at mental health issues right now in kids, the number of suicides, the number of drug abuse that's going up right now in kids, they need that social interaction to feel somewhat normal again. So I'm a big proponent of hybrid. I think you get the balance of in class as well as at home, and you can do it safely.
Dr. Most, we only have a minute left. Let's talk real quick about the ALS Walk for Life that's coming up next weekend.
Yeah, Matt, I really appreciate you taking time to do this. You know, we look at all the charities right now, and they're missing out on their golf outings, they're missing out on their walks, and this is one that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and I really would like people to consider it. You know, Les Turner ALS Center at Northwestern Medicine has been there for 40 years, and you talk about a charity that is so well-balanced. Not only do they focus on providing care for patients with ALS and support to those families, and they let them know what opportunities are out there for treatment, they also are a great place for research for a cure and a treatment. Are we close to a cure? No. But are we getting treatments? Absolutely. Medications showing the slowing of the progression of this illness are out there. So next Saturday is their walk, and it's a virtual walk. You know, the walk normally, you know, ends up at Soldier Field, and it's a very emotional time for many people who had a family member or friend go through this. So I just ask people, hey, go online, donate. You can go to the website, and it's easy to make a donation. If you're motivated, get a team together to do it. But really, you know, they're really looking at just participation and awareness. It's a terrible, debilitating, terminal disease. So go on, give $10. It'll make you feel better, and I can tell you it's going to make an impact. And Matt, I appreciate you allowing me just a minute to talk about it, because these charities need those research dollars to make an impact in the future. And I can tell you that the Les Turner Group and the ALS Center, they are phenomenal people whose hearts are in the right place, and they know how to help families deal going through this illness with a loved one, as well as promote the research side. So great balanced charity, and really appreciate the opportunity.
LesTurnerALS.org, LesTurnerALS.org. Go there and give some money. And while we can't walk in person this year, we can all get out in our neighborhood, and we can still do our walk and donate the money and still just get out and walk. You mentioned the mental health issues that kids are having. I think we're all having them, Dr. Most. I think there is an epidemic of mental health issues that we're having in America right now that are probably going to get stronger. So whatever we can do to take care of ourselves as well and our mental health, and certainly getting out, especially while the weather's still good, and enjoying walks while we can, and breathing that air and doing whatever we can to feel some sense of normally, I have to imagine is a pretty good idea.
100%. You know, it's good for our immune system. It's good for our mental health. You know, the beauty of a virtual walk is if it's snowing or raining next Saturday, you can still participate. So, you know, the virtuals are great, but you're absolutely right. Everyone should take the opportunity today to get outside. That vitamin D is great for our immune system, but like you said, it's more important for our mental health as well.
Dr. Most, we got to get to the news, but we will hear you, I'm sure, on WGN Radio this week. Thanks again, as always, for your time.
You got to take care, Matt.
All right, sir. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Again, everybody, LesTurnerALS.org. Check that out and donate the money if you can. We appreciate it.